Hello, and welcome to the Whostorian video podcast special.
Are you staring into the...
I was looking up to at the camera, yeah.
Untempered schism there.
Yeah, exactly. Also known as your kitchen wall.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. This is the palatial studio.
This is the palatial studio.
It's the Whostorian podcast's first ever...
video podcast.
Well, you've done video reviews.
I've done video reviews. This is the first official video podcast.
Yeah. I'm Shannon and you. Steve.
Yep. And
I'm
now
sure
you get
you're sure you'll put that on the
I'll put the name keys up. You get to officially see our ugly mugs.
Yeah, I have not shaved.
Nope.
And
neither have I.
And my hair is all messed up, so I'm wearing a ball cap.
You don't have any hair, that's why you're wearing
a
ball cap.
Yeah, my buddy Kenny buzzed it off. Yeah. And I don't know, it's all messed up, so.
And we have the Colin Baker figure I reviewed. Your Colin Baker figure.
Yeah, the one you got for me.
And we have a Dalek. And yep. We have the Doctor
These
Who,
are old yearbooks.
1965 yearbook. We have John
1995
Pertwee.
Yearbook. 1995.
We have John Pertwee hugging a teddy bear.
Yeah, that's from The Children in Need, 95.
And you've got Doctor Who Illustrated A to
Z. I just pulled up some...
you wanted some props on set.
Well, I wanted to have some kind of a Doctor Who feel.
Yeah.
You know? That's the...
If I'd known, I could have brought a TARDIS.
That's the Doctor Who Illustrated A to Z. I got that at Wordplay. Yeah,
okay.
Wordplay.
Wordplay was a bookstore in downtown St. John's.
Was. Past tense.
It's gone.
Yeah, I got that years ago at Wordplay, and it's very difficult to find. In fact, you know what? I'll do a little mini review on it. Because where it's an illustrated A to Z, this is one of the first books to teach me pretty much what I need to know about Doctor Who for beginners. You know? Like, it's...
D is for Dalek.
Yeah.
K is for K9.
They didn't have, obviously, they didn't have the rights for the BBC to reproduce photographs.
Yeah.
So it's fully painted throughout.
Z is the terrible Zodin.
Yeah, like for example...
Z has to be Zodin.
Oh, yeah, Zodin's
Yeah.
Like, for example, see? Like, that's just one of the paintings. They're nice. I like the paintings. They're actually impressed.
I'm at a complete meg loss.
Whoa.
No, those aren't
How
nice
long
paintings.
Are we into it before you start doing the puns?
Oh, we're only 2 minutes in.
I'm going to give you just one brief vamp for me, will you?
Vamp for you.
Yeah.
This is a new setup. This is new for us.
This is up to the sixth Doctor, by
it's
the
up
way.
To the... Oh, only six?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, for example...
Well, for you, there's nothing past the sixth anyway, so...
This is true, isn't it? For example, the entry for Voga.
Yeah.
What's Voga, Steve?
Voga is the planet of gold.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Voga, the mythical planet of gold, and once a major power, was virtually destroyed in the first cyber war.
Yes.
And it goes on for about half a paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
About, and it actually cites, see also Cybermen, comma, Vogans, from Revenge of the Cybermen was the first appearance. So it's like...
It's a mini reference guide.
Yeah, and that was one of the first ones.
It's not just your Johnny's first Doctor Who.
Yeah, like it was one of the first ones, and I don't recall, there's actually no price in terms of Canadian pricing, it's only British pricing.
£8.95.
Right.
So
and
you're
looking
at about
there's no Canadian price on it at all.
16 and tax, you're looking at about a $25 book.
Yeah. And the thing about
if I go by today's pricing, I don't know when you got the thing.
Well, God, I don't know, 92 or 93.
So about a $25
book. Oh, I beat myself up.
Yeah.
But the thing about it that gets me as well, and I've tried to keep it in good condition, but there's a few cracks and on the spine. But
dings.
The thing that gets me about it is that, like a lot of things at Wordplay years ago, and you recall, of course, that they had a lot of British stuff.
They did.
You know,
they had a lot.
There is no Canadian. I don't even think this book was published like in Canada. I think this is a British book that was imported to places like Wordplay.
Well,
if I had to guess.
You shouldn't need to guess. It should be.
It's listed there.
The property of Stephen Windsor.
It was indeed.
Who we talked to before.
Well, he was on the last show.
Illustrations, copyright Leslie Standing, 1985.
Yeah.
Doctor Who, copyright British Broadcasting Corporation, 85. Printed and bound in Great Britain.
Yeah.
So, it was imported.
Yeah.
So.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. It is a really nice book.
I got that. I even remember, like, the...
Amos for the Mara.
I remember the actual,
And there's not pictures for every
library
involved.
Part where I got it, because, like, Wordplay was kind of laid out like a library.
Yeah.
And I remember picking it up.
Oh, I mean, like, seriously, look at the picture of Suketh.
Yeah.
Like...
Show people the pictures.
You can see this. This is...
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah. If you're listening to the audio after, really take the time and go watch the video.
Oh, yeah, we're kind of screwing everybody up.
Yeah, we're going to release this in two versions. I might just release it in one and just do it as the video. But I can't get it into the podcast stream that way. So, yeah, I'm going to have to do it both ways.
Okay. The problem now is that people who are listening to the audio are like, what are they talking about?
You know what's really funny?
Well, we're new with this.
The picture of Sarah Jane with the spider on her back.
Mm-hmm.
Which, years later, Donna Noble, there's something on
your back. There's something on your back, yeah.
Yeah. History repeats itself.
Definitely. Well, yeah. It's Doctor Who, so of course it does.
Lay that back over there. We'll keep John Pertwee over here.
And we'll reference more things as time goes on.
Yes. But,
yeah, I had that book from about 92 to...
Well, now.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, I gave this to Steve. That's why there's a
property of Steve.
Steve's
Windsor.
One of these geeks that has, like, you know, a property of this person
in
their library. They always stamp that stuff. And years later, when he moved away to where he's living now in Alberta, he gave this back to me. And I went, wow, I haven't seen this in years.
Cool.
You know, so it's nice to be able to unearth all the old classic Doctor Who stuff.
Here. It is. And it's nice to have it around for us to look at.
It's rare.
On nice. Video, really.
Yes, yeah. Anyway, so for the benefit of those who are listening on audio and not privy to our ugly mugs on video.
Yeah, the video link is on thewhohistorian.ca further down the page from the audio links, and it's in the video section as well.
And we weren't planning on
certainly
doing this.
See us. No, we weren't.
Yeah.
Which is why
I'm not shaved.
I showed you another podcast that I've been doing.
Have I already apologized for not being shaved?
Yes.
That's twice now I've done that as well.
I showed you another podcast I was doing with video, and you're like, we can do video?
Well, I knew what we could, but I didn't think we would tonight.
Or how simple it could be to set up.
Yeah, because, I mean, keep in mind, when we started doing the Whohistorian, actually right over there.
Right. Yeah.
Off camera.
Off camera.
It was an off-camera day.
I was sitting on your couch. You were sitting in the Davros chair.
Yeah, which is really just a beat-up old chair I got there, yeah.
And it was two of us with headsets.
Yeah.
Headset microphones.
And you got mad at me because I drank coffee.
Yes.
Slurp.
Oh.
Slurp.
So, we've evolved into...
Well, we've evolved to the point where I agree with you that those sounds are gross.
Episode 66 now? Episode 66,
six?
I believe.
Is it six?
Yeah.
It's either 65 or 6.
I think it's 66.
I think it's 65.
I know a quick way to settle that argument.
I'll fight you for it. Yeah, anyway, so for those who are listening on the audio podcast, this is our first video.
This is our first attempted video.
And...
We're having fun with it.
We are. We haven't really talked about doing video before,
on
the show, but we had planned in the back of our mind to do it.
Yeah.
But it just never came around to,
and
we had to wait for you to upgrade your equipment, like a Cyberman.
Mm-hmm.
You are becoming more and more like a Cyberman. One of these days, you're going to show up and be like, you know, we need chest units.
This is episode 66.
All right, fine, you're right.
Chest unit? No, we don't need chest units. Yeah. And we especially don't need a vulnerability to gold in our breathing systems.
I always found that like a contrivance of the show. Be like,
well, they're
absolutely invulnerable. Well, no, it wasn't just gold because gold came along later.
Yeah.
The very first appearance, they were vulnerable to gravity.
Well, the very first appearance, they were also still marginally human.
Yes, yeah. I like the original. Did you like the original, like Cyberman, their first appearance in the Hartnell?
The first appearance with Hartnell,
because they didn't even have the electronic grating voices.
I liked better the appearance in Tomb of the Cybermen.
Will you stop with Tomb of the Cybermen? Can you reference the Cybermen without talking about Tomb of the Cybermen?
No, because they're the creepiest they've been.
Yeah, they're
good.
Because
you've got the mask. It looked cheesy and campy looking back on it, but at the same time, you're thinking there's a human being somewhere contained in this suit who's been modified, and you don't see what's been done.
Do you know my favorite Cybermen are probably like the Earthshock Cybermen? And the reason I say that is because they had this little perspex chin.
Yes.
And you could actually
see the chin.
The chin moving inside.
Yeah.
You think to yourself, that's a shriveled up.
So there's
the
something
idea
left.
Is that it's a shriveled up biological.
Yeah.
That's
what I like.
Left.
That's
yeah.
what I like. Yes. That's why I like
the
particular models.
The vestiges of humanity. Or in this case.
Or whatever.
Mondasian.
Mondasian, yeah. Well, human point two.
Human point two. That's my chair.
I know.
Yeah.
It's what it is. We don't really have a plan this night.
We never have a plan, I don't think, do we?
Other than, I'm still having much love for Peter Capaldi. I can't wait for the Christmas special.
I'm getting used to the idea of him being the Doctor.
Yes.
I am. It's still fresh, you know?
I'd like the BBC to turn off the swear filters. But I think that's never going to happen.
Yeah, but that's just one role.
He's just one role.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
I guess you could call it like a breakout, I suppose.
Yeah, it was.
But
really.
He was an established actor before that. He had done lots of stuff.
Definitely.
The first thing I ever saw him in outside of Doctor Who, like once I knew he was the Doctor, well, actually, no, the lead up to him potentially being the Doctor, because he was the odds-on favorite.
Yeah.
I watched an interview he did on Craig Ferguson, Late Late Show.
Good friends with Craig.
And, yeah, well, they used to be in a band together.
Yeah.
And just a banter back and forth, I said, if he makes it as a Doctor, I'm going to be really happy because this guy seems like a really cool personal dude.
He's got a really really laid back attitude to it. He's got the acting chops. He's got the believability. Definitely. You know, he throws himself into a role and he is good.
I love the fact that it's the 50th anniversary.
Yep.
And they're choosing an actor who was virtually the same age as William Hartnell was when he became the Doctor 50 years ago.
Exactly.
I love it. I can't get enough of it. I love that.
This is shaping up to be a banner November.
Yeah,
definitely. And we're getting closer.
Dude, what have I been saying, man, for years? I just want to be there. I hope we're still broadcasting the Historian when Matt Smith regenerates.
We will be.
Can we do a live version?
That's a Christmas special.
I know. Can we do a live one where as people are watching him regenerate, they're saying, like, you know, it's like a Times Square thing, countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and they flash to me just doing a jig?
We can.
Can we do that?
We can. Actually, I have
the... Do we have any listeners left now?
I have. we have the technology. I've got the cameras to do it. We could do a live feed. Oh my god, I need a video. Stop doing this to me.
Then what do you?
I need a video switcher now.
See, look, you're talking yourself into upgrading. You're a freaking Cyberman, I'm telling you.
No, you're giving me ideas.
Let's do my review.
I'm not a Cyberman.
Mini review.
I'm not a Cyberman. The headphone jack is gold plated.
I want my dog gold plated.
Yeah.
All right. Mini review, speaking of my favorite doctor.
The Sixth Doctor, Colin
Baker. Do you remember the Make Your Own Adventure books years ago?
Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Well, Choose Your Own, same thing.
I loved them as a kid.
Yeah, so did I, big time. Do you remember the Arthurian one? You're a big Arthurian fan.
I'm a big Arthur fan. Yes, I do.
There was one where
they
were lost in time.
Yes.
And you could go to King Arthur's court.
Yes.
It was really cool. Anyway, so like the whole purpose of these, I'm sure people know what I'm talking about, but the whole purpose of those books was to choose an adventure. Like you go to certain pages.
And your choices have consequences.
Right.
Yes.
To go this way, turn to this page. So they did a range for Doctor Who.
Make Your Own Adventure.
I don't know. Where's the... It's up there, isn't
it? Yeah, you're picked in.
Make Your Own Adventure. It's probably... You can't really see it, but...
You might be able to.
But yeah, and look at that beautiful...
Artwork. Crisis like in Space.
Yeah. So this one was written by Michael Holt.
Okay.
I don't recall his acting chops, or I should say his writing chops. But they actually have... Let me see if this works for you, okay?
Okay, let's see. Lay it on me, as they say.
Garth Hediz, overlord of the grim and gruesome Golans, has released a black hole into the solar system. His plan is to annihilate Earth. Only the Doctor and you can save it. Now open the covers and join the Doctor in an adventure through time and space.
Mm.
I'm sold, dude. I mean,
alliteration aside, yes, I do like the premise of that.
But let me tell you something.
And look at the disparity here. In the UK, it was £1.95. By the time you get to Canada, it's $4.
Mm. Look at poor Australia though.
$4.95.
Tack on another buck just so it has to cross half the world.
Now, again, look at this for the size you're getting. Remember, folks, this was what was the date on this one?
Well, it was during Colin Baker's era, so I'm going to say 87.
1986, published. For £1.95, for like $3.95 Canadian, you can't get a book for $3.95, a book of this quality, for $3.95. Now, I mean, I know it's short, it's a choose your own adventure, but...
Do you want to know what's sad?
What?
I've done them.
Oh, undoubtedly.
These are the ultimates for me, sir, as a Colin Baker fan.
Yes.
To choose your own adventure with the Sixth Doctor,
yeah.
Speaking of choosing your own adventure with the Sixth Doctor...
Yeah, oh.
Steve Nolan.
Yes.
Okay.
Hubrew.
Steve Nolan, who...
From the Historian magazine.
Co-creator of the Historian magazine.
Yes.
We've mentioned him before.
We're hoping to get an interview with him.
Very soon.
Yes.
Who Brew. He also did Who News.
Yes.
So, our last few shows have been... We have Blair Galton.
We have Blair Galton. We had Steve Windsor. His wife,
Christy, Karen.
Karen Christie.
And we're working on getting Shannon Sullivan.
Yes.
A couple other people on the local level. So I reach out to Steve Nolan and I say, hey, like, you know, the most recent historians have been us doing interviews with people who were really big into the...
Reaching back into the
fan community.
Yeah.
So you know what he says to me? I just got over the fact you met Colin Baker. I'm just over it now, okay? Took a while.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you know how, like, you know, the first 6 months, the heart has to heal.
I know. Right? Yes.
So I say to him, you know, you're more than welcome to come on the show, just like...
We'd love to have you on.
Just like Steve
Windsor
did and stuff, and Blair Galton. He says to me, "Oh well, I'm in Toronto Trek right now.
Well, Fan Expo in Toronto.
I'm in Toronto at the Expo right now.
Yeah,
and I'm scheduled to meet Colin Baker. So I said, another Steve has met Colin Baker.
That's three Steves now.
No,
didn't Windsor say he met him?
No, he met Sylvester McCoy.
Oh, Sylvester McCoy.
I don't care about that.
Two Steves have met Colin Baker.
Well, put it this way,
and one,
three Steves and have one, met doctors, and two of them have met my favorite doctor,
and one brought you back an autograph." A personalized autograph that says to Shannon.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. I told him potentially his biggest Canadian, if not the biggest fan of his work, could not be in Wales with me. Yeah, but he was there in spirit, and would he mind signing a second autograph? Because they told me
when are you getting the man here?
They told me when I went to talk to him, they said you only get one autograph.
I know you told me the story before.
So
have you told the story before?
I don't know if I told the story or not. I was amazed that there was. I go in to get an autograph, and the actors are lined off in their little autograph booths, and there's a line back to the wall and around the corner for Brian Blessed.
And yeah, you did tell the story before.
There's nobody in line for Colin Baker.
You haven't got to tell me that.
I was blown away.
So you took pity on him, did you?
No, I was going to get the Colin Baker autograph anyway. That was my intent, was to go get the Colin Baker. He's still a doctor.
If you had the cajon, sir, you'd say to him, hey, you're my least favorite doctor, to his face.
I was wearing a Tom Baker scarf at the time. He kind of knew where he fell.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. You think the doctors think that, though?
I don't know.
Doctor actors who are meeting fans.
I really don't know.
Do you think if they're sitting there, and let's say, for example, you're Colin Baker, and somebody, I mean, obviously somebody comes up wearing the patchwork coat. They're clearly a Colin Baker fan, Six Doctor fan.
Yes.
But do you think that if Matt Smith's sitting there and you burl up to him with a Tom Baker scarf, he's thinking, I got no chance here.
Probably not.
I'm not even this guy's top five.
Now, his favorite cosplayer of that weekend was actually the Gendermint Six Doctor.
Yeah.
Because they had 11 women dressed up as the 11 doctors.
Okay.
Right down to, there was one wearing.
That's actually kind of cool.
There was one wearing.
That's crossing some boundaries we shouldn't be talking about on a G-rated podcast.
There was one girl wearing the Technicolor Dreamcoat, and he just latched right onto her for some unknown reason.
Anyway, here's the first one has a nice painted cover.
Crisis in Space. Second one looks like.
Invasion of the Ormazoids.
It looks like something I would have drawn.
Now, I'm going to take note.
It looks like something I could have drawn, and it looks like they almost photoshopped the spaceman on there.
I'm going to test your who knowledge. Huh?
Well, right? Oh, no. No.
Ready for this?
No.
All right, so it's Invasion of the Ormazoids by Philip Martin. Mm-hmm. Now, before, we're not looking at, you know, hands up, okay? Like to do a MasterChef.
Okay.
Hands up.
Hands up.
You're not allowed to go to any iPhones or anything.
It's over here. Okay. It's over here. Right. No, you're going to ask me who he is, and no, I freely admit my knowledge is gapping and less than yours.
Okay, but let me ask you this.
So please educate me, sir.
Let me narrow it down a bit. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying, let me narrow it down for you. It's a Sixth Doctor story.
Okay.
Philip Martin had something to do with a very popular Sixth Doctor story that was televised, that you and I both reviewed before on the show, and we both liked it.
He had something to do with the Trial of a Time Lord?
No. Well, yes, actually he did, but...
So it would narrow it down probably to Terror of the Vervoids?
No.
No?
He...
Oh, wait, you like Syl. Never mind, okay.
Yeah, I love Syl.
Yeah.
But, you're getting closer.
Yeah.
You're getting warmer, getting warmer.
Getting warmer, The Impossible Planet?
No. Vengeance on Varys.
Vengeance on Varys. First appearance. Okay, Syl's first appearance, yeah.
Philip Martin wrote it.
Oh, cool.
So that's...
Okay.
Cool that people who have professional...
Now, don't hate on me out there. This man's knowledge...
I'm more of a classic guy.
This man's knowledge is encyclopedic, and it is ridiculous for the classic stuff.
Yeah, for the classic
stuff. He can probably tell you what Colin Baker had to eat during Vengeance on Varys.
I can't talk to him, though, because you've already met him, see? So, and you and Steve Nolan,
Hopefully going...
Anyway, I can't...
Hopefully still got the door open to go meet Peter Davison in November.
I cannot... yeah, shut up. I cannot say that I'm the biggest Doctor Who expert.
No.
Because there is another.
Shannon
if
Sullivan.
If we can get Shannon Sullivan
Shannon
here,
Sullivan.
Sometime September.
Both of us have no problem agreeing and bowing down to his knowledge.
Yeah, the guy, he's forgotten more about Doctor Who than I'll ever know.
Definitely.
We're moving on to, apparently...
Oh, this is where
it was $1.99.
It was $1.99.
This helped... The third Doctor Who quiz book.
The third Doctor Who
by quiz Nigel book. Robinson, who also wrote a new adventure by the name of... Let me think if I can think of the name of it. I will find the name, but I got it in my head.
You see? Encyclopedic.
Yeah, but hang on now.
Mine like a steel trap, rusty and illegal
really
in 37 states.
It was one of the rare... Like, it stands out as being one of the rare good new adventures.
Okay.
Because most of them weren't.
Mm.
I can't think of the name of it. Okay. Anyway, Nigel Robinson is a good... He's a good writer.
Who was the deadly assassin? On which?
Let's see how many of these you know. Just on the back cover.
No, you're not giving me a quiz tonight.
No,
you
I'm going to give you.
No, you're not giving me, especially on our first night on video. No, you're not doing this.
Come on.
No.
What is it? On which planet did the dogs?
Let's see. Oh, look, Adventures of the Sixth Doctor.
Okay. All right. I love how you're not giving me a quiz, and you're trying to give me a quiz.
I'll give you a quiz, sure. I will give you a quiz.
All right.
Where exactly on Telos did the TARDIS arrive carrying the Sixth Doctor and the Cybermen?
Holy crap. That's, like, really...
Where the hell are the answers to this thing?
Yeah, it's really insider. It was in the tombs on Telos.
Yeah, well, I know. I'm even thinking of it, but yes, it was. Mm. Where the hell are the answers to these things?
I think in the back, I think.
No, they're not.
They should be in the back.
Oh, yeah, there's Adventures of the Fourth Doctor, page 55. Page 68.
Because that the whole story was kind of a sequel to, in a way, to your favorite Tomb of the Cybermen. Because it takes place in the same place, basically.
Adventures of the Sixth
I'm sure
Doctor.
This is exciting for people now, too.
Yeah, it is.
You're flipping through pages.
In the Tombs of the Cybermen.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, one more, but we'll move on from that. I should ask you, Sylvester.
What was the purple zone in the Punishment Dome on Varos?
What? Wow, God. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
We just talked with Avengers on Varos. It's not the one with the flaw. Hang on now. The purple zone was...
A deadly section of the Punishment Dome on Varos in which prisoners were subjected to terrifying hallucinations.
Yeah. The fly. The giant Gigi fly. Yeah. Yes, that was... Yes, okay. That was when the Doctor thought he was purged.
And wow. Okay.
Bombarded. These, yeah, but I didn't get the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, but these
so.
Are going. These. I'm putting this over
I
here.
I didn't get it.
That goes way over my head.
I'm like, disappointed.
I can't swim
that.
Upstream in that one.
I'm disappointed. I didn't get it.
I freely
anyway,
admit. Oh look, Fourth Doctor.
So we have the handbooks. There's a series also that came out.
Yeah. I have
many
the first
years ago.
Five. I think.
You have all of them.
I have digital copies. No, I don't have all of them. I have
I
up
thought
to
you
the,
had all of them.
No, I have up to the fifth. Fifth or sixth.
Six, probably.
Probably six, yeah. I don't have them all, no.
Oh, okay.
I know I don't.
Well, the first seven Doctors,
yeah,
basically, this was a series of, you know, if you're into this, or like, this really was, because I had obviously the Sixth Doctor's Handbook,
yeah,
but this was really what really helped you learn about Doctor Who, because it talks about the era from the producer standpoint, the stories,
now,
everything.
When we say...
these handbooks are great.
When we say it did help you learn, this was pre-digital era.
Oh yes, yeah.
This wasn't internet. This was when you went to your local bookstore.
Yes,
you went looking, seeking this out.
But people always ask me like,
now, granted, this was 92, so this was still on the way.
I didn't buy it 92.
No,
I bought it like maybe 96 somewhere.
Yeah,
but I mean, people are always asking me, how come you know so much about Doctor Who?
This is
it's
why
like, because I read quiz books.
Yes,
and
you read quiz books and you read the handbooks
and,
stuff, and
you know,
read which is all now, people believe, all available to them on the internet. But there is there's stuff in these handbooks that is not available on the internet.
Do you know I paid $7?
Oh, my God. Are those what I think they are?
Yep. I paid... This was $7 at Second Page Bookstore, okay?
Yeah.
The year that it came out, like the television movie, 96.
Doctor Who...
And it was a special edition. You know me being a comic book geek, I had to get it because it was a...
Yeah.
A special edition.
Doctor Who magazine.
With exclusive interviews with Jeffrey Sachs.
The Eighth Doctor and Amazing Grace.
And Paul McGann.
The Eighth Doctor and Amazing Grace.
Daphne Ashbrook, yeah. Yeah, so I got a collection of... I don't know how old these are, but...
those are Civil War ones.
Civil War.
We don't need those.
I'm a history geek.
Well, here it is.
Civil War times. There you go.
Here it is, the reveal of the Eighth Doctor, Paul McGann.
Yeah.
So, in Doctor Who magazine...
Hey, watch that. That's a collector's edition. Now.
Panopticon 96.
Yeah. Let's get the stuff.
Oh,
can
wow.
We get the stuff? Because poor people are listening to us just talk about books.
But, I mean, you can also see us talk about books now.
I suppose, if you're
still looking at our ugly mugs.
I suppose. All right, so let's get to some stuff. What's new with, other than Peter Capaldi? Is it kind of wearing off now? Like
it's not wearing off. The shine is
not
still
at all?
There. No, not for me personally. The shine is still there. I'm still really happy.
Are you starting to think about what he's gonna like? What is he gonna wear? Like
your cat's looking at me like I'm coming up there.
Don't make me come up there.
Don't make me come up there.
Hey, she's been on shows before.
Yeah, the speculation now is what's he gonna wear? What kind of costume is it gonna be?
What are you hoping for?
Something First Doctor-esque.
Yeah, Victorian type.
Victorian, something gentlemanly,
something more, something blue.
Yeah.
But do you think that they're going to go with that, though? Because they've already done the variations of that with, like Victorian Edwardian style.
And they were kind
has really permeated classic, you know what I mean? Like even the Eighth Doctor we just showed, he was very
Oh yeah, that was.
You know, he had a suit that was very similar to the first.
Yeah, and most recently with Matt Smith, his latest.
Yeah.
Jacket and tie combination was getting back. Yeah,
was getting back.
Was getting back. So, something I think that we continue in those lines. Hopefully, not something. As much as I love the thing, nothing Tom Baker Scarfish or Colin Baker Coatish, nothing garish.
Nothing flashing,
yeah,
garish.
Yeah.
So you're saying nothing sort of like on the nose. You want something kind of subtle. And
yeah.
I agree with that. You know, I agree with that. I mean, I like what they did. I didn't think there was anything left. You know what I mean? I thought, okay, when the new series came back, one of the reasons I sort of felt that they gave Eccleston that was the, you know, what they gave him, the jumper and the,
yeah,
and the sort of motorcycle jacket, basically, was to make him completely stand out and make him relevant to now, what yeah. people would wear now. But I also thought...
So he could blend into now.
Definitely. And I also thought, maybe they're doing that because they really have nothing else left for doctors to wear that's unique and different. But then I saw Tennant.
David Tennant, very stylish and can fit in any era.
Right.
And, yeah.
So and I thought, well, maybe they haven't run out of ideas.
No, and then they came out with the variations on Smith's costume. Now, the only difference is that I don't really think a lot of people these days wear bow ties.
No, you're going to get... Listen, but, I said the same thing on a blog, and people started slamming me.
I know.
Talking about, oh, man, bow ties are cool.
The historian.blogspot.ca, the entry is Reasons Why I Hate the 11th Doctor.
Yeah, 10 yeah. reasons, I believe I called it. Why? No, I just called it Why I Hate the 11th
Why Doctor. Why I Hate the 11th Doctor, yeah.
I think I eventually settled on 10 reasons.
Yeah. Something like that.
Anyway, one of the comments was about how blasphemous it was that I said that bow ties are not cool whatsoever. However, they're not. Sorry, and I'm looking right at
no, bow ties are not.
No, never have
been. I do, however, own a fez. I should have brought my fez in. It's in the car.
Okay, not only did you bring a fez.
I have a fez.
You traveled with a fez.
It's in the back seat of my car.
You're lucky this is a G-rated podcast, man. I wonder how much damage this Dalek can do upside your head.
I don't know, but you just knocked Colin over.
I didn't mean to do that, Colin. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
That's the San Diego.
Comic-Con exclusive.
I know you've already done the thing.
The review is on thehistorian.ca.
Yeah, that's a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive of the suit which he originally wore in... my brain fart. Real time.
The webcast. Yeah.
The reason why they did that, it ended up being sort of a retcon, but the reason why they did that, I don't know if you mentioned that, was they couldn't do the multicolored scarf with such limited animation.
No.
Because it was broadband animation.
Multicolored coat, not scarf.
Sorry, it's a coat.
But the whole and it was also a half a dig at the TV series because they couldn't do
blue
in the coat because of the blue screen effects.
Yeah, that's right.
It would mess with that.
Yeah, that's my boy. So, yeah, there you go, buddy.
Yeah.
Catching up.
So there was no actual blue in his costume other than what was in the tie, and the tie was more of a teal than anything.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't affect.
See, the thing is, I've...
See, some stuff I do pay attention
tweeted.
To.
Well, I'm glad you do. Well, you edit the show. You have to... Mm-hmm. You know, when people listen to the show, they're like, wow, Sham knows he's Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, he edits this thing, so he's listening to me just ramble on for hours
on end.
what people hear on the podcast...
the better part of 65 hours now.
But yeah, like, what was I going to say? I was going to say that the, I forgot what I was going to say.
Mm.
That's what happens when you ramble.
Real-time webcast?
Real-time webcast was...
Blue coat.
We have to get to that.
Yeah.
I want to
we do. We both have it, so we can both watch it and do the review.
I definitely want to do a review on
upcoming,
that,
upcoming reviews I'm going to commit to right now on tape and on camera.
Oh, I was going to say about Twitter, actually. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. The upcoming reviews we're going to commit to right now within the next couple of weeks, well, before we get to Mr. Sullivan, mm-hmm. hopefully, mm-hmm. we can commit to Real Time.
Yep.
We can commit to, because I've been really meaning to sit down and watch these, is the two Peter Cushing movies.
Oh, God, yeah.
The Dalek Invasion of Earth.
I've been waiting a long time.
Doctor Who and
those.
The Daleks. I have
Let's
them.
Let's talk about that. Like
So...
One
I've
thing
seen
I find,
parts of them. I've seen reviews of them, even though I haven't sat down and watched the thing. Oh, I know the stories.
They're amazing.
You know?
Well, they're remakes of the Hartnells, is what yeah. they are. The first two Hartnell serials with the Daleks. But I find, and I apologize to listeners and viewers, and you know to yourself because I've done this multiple times. I find when you know something so well, you drop references and stuff, and mm-hmm. you don't realize, you know what, people may not know what the hell we're talking about.
No.
So the Cushing movies, Steve, if you had to sum them up for people who don't know what they are.
Cheesy attempts at Doctor Who.
They are not cheesy attempts at Doctor Who. They're Doctor Who if Walt Disney had the rights to Doctor Who, is what they are.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Very, very much so. He's actually named Doctor Who.
Yeah, he's a human inventor.
He's a human inventor named Doctor Who. Hmm. The TARDIS is still dimensionally transcendental for some reason.
What they were a American company called Amicus Films.
Bernard Cribbin still kicks ass.
He does, because he's in them.
Yeah.
An American company called Amicus Films had bought the rights from the BBC
mm-hmm.
to screen, or in this case, redo the very first two William Hartnell Dalek stories.
Sorry, I'd chew your cat.
That's okay. She'll be around. She'll be around.
Yeah.
And they did a big budget version.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, some of the Daleks that they created for those movies eventually filtered its way into...
Were later used in TV production in because TV they production. Were so good and so durable that they yep. were still there.
And that was, I believe that was one of the agreements. Hey, if we mm-hmm. give you the rights to make these movies, yep. whatever production you use, we're going to steal.
They didn't destroy them later.
And Peter Cushing, who of course later became known as Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yep.
Amongst a billion other things that he's done. Great British actor.
Tremendous actor.
Oh, one of my favorites, dude. One of my favorites. Was the Doctor. And yes. he was kind of similar to Hartnell, because he was based on Hartnell, but he was a lot less senile and a lot less malevolent at times. Mm. He was a lot more grand... He was definitely more grandfatherly. He was like a... He was Hartnell in his later years. He was starting to warm a little bit. And,
yeah, pretty much.
But in this case, he's a human inventor. Ian and Barbara are an older couple who are... Going out together.
Going out together. Susan is still his granddaughter.
Susan is legitimately... Yeah. Legitimately. Doctor Who fans should factor in that Susan is legitimately his granddaughter.
Legitimately his granddaughter.
Yeah.
Completely.
How do you feel about that? Let's get off on that a bit.
To me, it's established anyway. She was his was his granddaughter. It was established in the first episode.
Yeah.
Be the aliens, they still have a familial connection.
But do you feel... And even Caroline Ford herself pointed this out.
Mm.
That for 30 years... In Doctor Who continuity and with history and fandom, nobody ever questioned that the Doctor and Susan were granddaughter and grandfather.
Yes.
Until the New Adventures.
By the way,
the book's name is Nightshade.
Yeah.
Nigel Robinson, Nightshade. That's the name of the book. The New Adventure, which is one of the few good ones. That's the cat, by the way. Playing with stuff. Yeah, she said, like, for 30 years, nobody really questioned
what was going
that biological connection. And then the New Adventures was like, you know what, let's just rewrite that. Part of the Hartnell master plan. You know, if you left that out...
No, it wasn't even anything out. It was just getting her away from the case, that's all.
Is that what she was screwing around?
She's pawing at the case. Like, cats do. Instead of the couch, she's pawing at the case. I don't worry about it.
Are we going to do a reset?
Soon? No, we're just going to continue on.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
We could just go out for a smoke.
I'm not editing video.
Okay, we can go out for a smoke.
But we can't at this point. Yeah, we can because we're about halfway through our rambling.
Yeah.
So the beauty of this time is we're actually going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with more Whostorian. So please stay with us. And we're back for the Whostorian's first ever video podcast. Style and Steve Lake still here, Shannon Lush. And walking into frame right now is Smokey, your cat.
With a big bum. I got a big bum on her.
Hi, Smokey.
She has been the bugaboo of many an audio show back in the day, eh?
Yes, she was the bane of our existence.
And now you did the editing.
She's the bane of the Dalek.
Yeah.
And she's not too sure where she's going right now.
She was pawing at the mixer there for a minute.
Is there a way off this damn table?
Look how the blue lights of the mixer reflect on her bum.
Oh, stop that.
Hey, it's out of shot.
Oh, Lord.
We're keeping it PG. It's out of shot.
And she's gone. So we're back with the first Whostorian video podcast.
Yes, sir.
And going well so far for our ramblings.
It was a good smoke.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had some good secondhand air.
Yeah. Imagine, like, in about 20 years, you're going to be like, why do I have lung cancer?
I quit smoking years ago. Why do I have it now?
You did quit smoking years ago, didn't you?
I did.
How long did you smoke for?
From the age of 17 to 28.
Wow. That's, like, a long time.
Yeah.
And cold turkey.
Cold turkey.
You told me before it was...
I had a weekend off. Locked myself in the house for 3 days.
But didn't you say that the...
Ate myself out of food. Gained 100 pounds.
But didn't you say the catalyst for it was when you were at work one day outside in a snowstorm?
No, I was home because I couldn't smoke in my apartment.
Maybe that wasn't you that said that.
I know somebody who quit abruptly
because they said, I'm not facing
a
snowstorm.
I was off for a weekend. I was stood out in the middle of a blizzard
having
a cigarette, and my house is out in the middle of a field.
Yeah.
So there's no protection. And I'm just stood there with the cigarette going, why am I doing this to myself?
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't see any Ice Warriors around here. I shouldn't be out here.
Exactly. So.
So we're back. Continuing on with
our rambling.
Rambling, really. We are kind of rambling on this one.
And we're having fun rambling. We're showing off some of your collection of Doctor Who books.
Some of them.
So there is a little bit of a theme there.
Small things. Let me see if there's anything else I haven't shown.
Well, you've shown the yearbook, the quiz books, the magazines. I've still got the 1995 yearbook. Yeah, the book on the bottom.
All right, well, the yearbooks. Let's just get to the yearbooks for
a minute. I'll move my arm.
The yearbooks are reprints of some of the Marvel Doctor Who comics. As well as some original storylines like tech stories.
I love this. They recreated that shot, actually.
I can tell you where that shot's from.
That shot's on Westminster Bridge.
Yeah, but I can tell you what it's for.
Okay, what's it for?
That's for a 30th anniversary, because it came out in 93. This was 95?
Yeah, this was 95.
Yeah, I could be wrong in that case. All right, I was thinking it was the one that was for the 30 Years in the TARDIS documentary, but it's not.
But they were recreating this for the Christmas special recently.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were. The William Hartnell Christmas special.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Tech story or a comic story. That's a good story, actually.
The story can be good, but oh, my dear Jesus, is that Baker?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great in artwork. You
know? No.
It's better artwork than IDW.
No, IDW does better artwork than that.
I disagree with you, sir. Disagree with you.
Wow.
Have you not seen Prisoners of Time? You know?
Yeah, I have, but...
Yeah, they... Monoptera.
My God, he looks like a serial killer.
The Tom Baker Doctor meets, goes back to Vortis and meets the Monoptera from the Way Planet.
Yeah.
There. I was right. It is from 30 Years
in the TARDIS. Yeah.
That's Colin Baker there.
Of course.
You recognize Colin Baker, don't you, Steve?
Yes.
Yeah.
Met the man. Nice man. Good gentleman.
Isn't that a fantastic... Like, the people don't know what we're looking
No,
at.
They don't.
But it's a picture of a Draconian, and it's a fantastically done... Draconian.
It's an awesomely done Draconian.
Yeah, it really is good. Yeah.
I just got to turn this like this because we've got the visual medium.
Yeah, but the people who are listening...
People who are listening are going to have to check the link for the video podcast.
Right there, sir. That's a nice picture.
That's a nice picture of the second Doctor and Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie.
Yeah.
Run, Jamie.
And there's their Doctor and Sarah Jane.
Yeah.
Your Sarah Jane.
I love... Dude,
who doesn't love Sarah Jane?
Speaking of Sarah Jane, I am still watching the...
Sarah Jane Adventures?
Sarah Jane Adventures.
How goes it?
Good. Okay. We're going to have some reviews coming up.
Still enjoying it?
I was telling you about the Paradise of Death.
Yeah. Because
we're going to get to some Barry Letts stuff. Paradise of Death, Barry Letts wrote it. This was the second to last audio play that John Pertwee did.
Mm.
But obviously, unfortunately... The three people involved in this picture, John Pertwee, Elizabeth Sladen, Nicholas Courtney, are all passed on now.
Unfortunately, they are.
Yeah.
So,
it's too bad, yeah.
It's an awesome collection, but a sad collection at the same time now.
That was one of my favorite stories.
The Beast Inside?
Yeah, Daniel Blythe.
I want that. I'm getting that scarf.
Are you in the burgundy scarf?
Oh, yeah. I'm getting the burgundy scarf at some point.
Why? John Nathan Turner didn't tell you you had to wear that?
By hook or by crook. I have the multicolored scarf. I want the burgundy one.
Yeah, okay.
There is a lot of good stuff in here.
Yeah. And then we turn the page and it's Dimensions in Time.
That never happened. I have no idea what you're talking about. But anyway, yes, the Doctor Who yearbooks, they are...
They still do yearbooks, I believe, don't they?
Yes, they do. I have one.
Like a more recent one?
More recent one. I have the...
Do they still have, like, tech stories and stuff?
I have the 2010-2011 yearbook.
But don't you have the...
I have the encyclopedia, too.
No, what's the other one? The giant book or big great book or something like that?
I'm blanking right now. But yeah, I can see it home on the shelf in my living room.
Yeah, I want to borrow that. Because that's like, it's like the... I can't remember the name.
It's basically the yearbook, yes.
But there's a name to it. Like, it's the...
yeah, I'm blanking.
The Brilliant Book.
The Brilliant Book. Yes, the Brilliant Book.
Yeah.
I have the Brilliant Book of 2011 or 2012.
Yeah, I got to borrow that. Yeah, sounds like fun.
Sure. No problem.
Are you still reading the...
Prisoners of Time?
No. Well, we can get to Prisoners of Time if you want to, but
no,
I mean...
we'll get to Prisoners of Time down the road. Am I still reading one?
The one I gave you, the Making of the Movie.
The Making of the Movie. It's still there. I have not slogged through it yet.
It's not a slog. It's a really
solid story.
No,
it's a really solid story.
Don't talk smack about this book.
I'm not talking smack about it. I haven't had a chance to get to it. I've been too busy.
All right. Okay. Fine.
Because I have 18 different projects at once going, as you know.
You do. Yeah. You do. Sometimes I think to myself that you're somebody from Sliders. It's alternate dimensions, Deeves.
Yeah, I just keep
in. Did you like Sliders?
Sliders was good.
Sliders was a good show.
Sliders was nice.
Yeah, for alternate dimension stuff.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, moving on to Doctor Who related
Doctor Who related stuff. Speaking of the brilliant book, move down to the bottom of the most brilliant book that you have there.
The most brilliant book I have right now in this collection, yeah. And I just knocked everything over.
Oh, well.
As long as the cat don't chew on it.
We'll fix it in post.
This is another... Oh, look, it's your favorite Doctor.
It's my favorite Doctor.
What's that from?
That is from Remembrance of the Daleks.
Yeah, that's right. This is 93. Let's see how much of a geek you are. Mm. That's from The Three Doctors. The picture right there. That, in fact, so is the second and the third Doctor. They're all snapshots from the same photo call that announced the Three Doctors. You can totally tell. The Baker one is from City of Death. The Davison one, The Visitation, maybe. The Colin Baker one is a photo, publicity photo. Mm-hmm. That is from Remembrance of the Daleks when he's talking to Davros.
That's the unlimited rice pudding speech.
Yeah, it actually is.
Et cetera.
Anyway, it's the cover to the yearbook 93. There's just pictures of the various doctors.
Which, again, is an awesome... These collections are actually really nice.
They are.
I'm happy that you
That's from them, Revelation of the Daleks.
Because I haven't seen them yet. So
that's from Revelation of the Daleks.
Yeah. I'm just picking up at random. Cambridge Revisited.
Pre-visited.
What the? Oh, The Anatomy of a Yeti.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'll
really
hold nice. Again, if you're listening to the audio cast, you really as well have to check out the video supplement to this.
What are we making people do it now?
Oh, yeah. I'm saying, whoa, my.
The artwork is good. The artwork is good.
No, it's not.
Well, it is good. I like the artwork. Well, it's also Sylvester McCoy. He's got a pretty hard face to capture, you know what I mean, to animate.
I wasn't even talking about McCoy at that, but I was talking to the...
Do you like that? Just show people on the video what McCoy's wearing here. You like that one? Paisley scarf under the
dark
jacket.
It's nice. It's a little more muted. It's not.
Did you like the cream color jacket or you like the Paisley one?
I like the Paisley. I like the darker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you like the burgundy scarf Tom Baker wore too.
I like the darker Doctor.
No wonder you don't like Colin Baker.
Ha ha.
Yeah. So that's a very good. Back in the day, like you said before, like it was all about. We didn't have the internet, so these are the things that came out that
we've got to find and hunt down.
We've got to find and hunt down. And I can even tell you where I got the yearbooks. Was at the Sage's hut years ago.
There you go.
Sonic screwdriver.
Polarity reversal control.
That's right. Yeah.
They built it into the third Doctor sonic screwdriver.
It's the history of the sonic screwdriver.
Oh my god.
But like I said before, I remember when you have something for such a long period of time. You remember where you bought it.
Yeah,
you
know definitely. What
I mean? Especially when it comes to Doctor Who memorabilia. I always remember, there's always a story behind it and a memory.
Yes.
You know, and when it comes to the yearbooks, I bought them at Sage's Hut years and years and years ago. And I remember I had to get them special ordered in.
Yeah.
Because nobody gave a crap about any of the Doctor Who stuff.
But
so
Pete,
I had to.
Pete would do it for us. Pete would do
he
it.
He would, yeah, yep. He would. He kind of shoot a glance at me like, what do you want that?
What do you want this for? Yeah, because he didn't know what it was. That's all.
Well, he just didn't.
That's all.
Doctor
it is. It's this strange thing.
He said, "I would only get it because I know you're going to buy it. Otherwise, I wouldn't try to sell it."
So,
which is funny because the same stores years ago in the '90s, when Doctor Who was dead,
they're clamoring for it now.
They're now clamoring for it. You can walk into a Time Masters now downtown. Well, not downtown. I should say the
Kenmount Road area.
Kenmount Road area. But do you remember going to the Time Masters downtown next
and
when it was
scrounging
next
for
Memorial?
Stuff? Yeah,
yeah. You would literally scrounge.
And
you know?
Now it's wall to wall. Who?
Yeah, that's right.
That's where I got my vinyl figures.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to pick up, there's a special, I can't remember what the gun is called. It's a special edition gun fashioned from a Dalek eye stock. The finger of a weeping angel. I can't remember what the name of the gun is, but I'm going to pick it up and review it.
I'll tell you a story about a Dalek gun. Want to hear a cool story about a Dalek gun?
Sure.
Years ago, obviously during the height of Dalek mania in the 60s in England. It was one of those circumstances, much like, you remember the story of the Star Wars figures, the vinyl, vinyl Cape Jawa and the vinyl Darth Vader, where the movie hit, nobody expected the merchandise to go for the roof.
And
so,
Lucas was a genius for keeping the rights.
Oh, he did, totally was.
Yeah.
But they had to sort of like rush all of these toys out to a massive audience that they didn't anticipate. Same thing happened with Dalek Mania. Nobody knew that the Daleks were going to be a big thing.
No.
So then all of a sudden the BBC gets swamped with requests from all these toy manufacturers to start producing Dalek kits and things like that. So one of the
weirdest... An example of one is here.
Right there, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the weirdest was the company that made Dan Dare, which was a television show.
Hmm.
It was a futuristic sci-fi show, kind of like Flash Gordon back in the day for England. Dan Dare water pistols.
Yes, I remember.
They were just
this.
Water pistols with a stamp on them that said Dan Dare.
Yeah.
They repackaged them and called them the Dalek Anti-Fluid Neutralizer. And people sold them and people bought them.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They sold through the roof because they had something related to Daleks.
Yeah.
God, love the Daleks, sir.
The Daleks are amazing.
Hey, speaking of Daleks.
I should have brought Bruce.
What's Bruce?
The 13-inch Dalek I have.
Oh, is that what you call it?
Yeah, I called him Bruce. I called him. His name is Bruce.
Why did you call him Bruce? After the shark and Jaws?
Yeah, pretty much.
You're a weird man.
Very.
Yeah.
It doesn't work half the time.
Well, neither does this one now.
Yeah, so I called him Bruce.
He used to make cool noises, though, back in the day. But speaking of Daleks.
Yes.
Your top three, I'm sure we've covered this before. Well, your top three Dalek stories.
Top three Dalek
stories? Of any medium. It could be any medium. It doesn't have to be the actual television series.
Oh, my God. Well, it's going to be the television series, because I haven't really delved into a lot of the other mediums.
Okay.
Number three would probably be Remembrance of the Daleks.
Wow, that's number three for you.
Yeah.
But you love McCoy and love that era.
Yeah,
and...
I know. Okay. I'm aware of what I'm saying.
That's
a big... Number three is Remembrance of the Daleks.
I'm kind of shocked by that, actually.
Yeah. Number two is Dalek.
Okay. Okay.
Because it's Dalek.
From the new series.
And number one is Genesis of the Daleks.
Ooh, wow.
I'm going right for the meat. That's why Remembrance falls where it does in there.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's examine that a little bit. Why is Dalek number two?
Because it was the reintroduction. It was making them scary again.
Mm-hmm.
It was the reimaging of the threat, making it this super and terrifying thing again.
And yet you felt some degree of pity for it.
You felt some degree of pity for it. Mm-hmm. Eccleston's acting in the episode is selling the fear.
Yep.
Is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
The writing of the episode is solid.
Mm-hmm.
Van Zandt is hateable. Wrong movie. Van Staten is hateable.
Mm-hmm.
But he's
greatly hateable.
Greatly hateable. The Dalek is...
Speak to me, Dalek.
The Dalek is something to be afraid of, to something to be amazed at, to something to... It starts as something to almost pity.
Mm-hmm.
When they say that it fell to Earth and was in a crater and burned for 3 days and screamed the entire time. And when the reveal happens at the end that it's absorbed Rose's genetic code and hates itself for being human. And
you're back to pitying it.
You go
through a full gamut of emotions.
You go through a full roller coaster.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's just amazing that way.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you on that. Dalek is up there.
It ranks higher than Remembrance for me. Remembrance is a celebration of where things came.
Yes, I was just about to say, yeah.
And, you know, introducing the... Getting into the the meat and potatoes of the war between the Dalek factions, the Imperial and the Rebels, the heavy weapons Dalek, who just looks awesome.
But they haven't really utilized it since. Well, I'd like to see the heavy weapons Dalek brought back.
He's on display in the...
In the Doctor Asylum of the Daleks.
He's on display in the Doctor Who Experience.
He's also in the Asylum of the Daleks. He's talking about you going to cool stuff.
He looks great in person.
You're going to look great in person when I punch you in the head, I'll tell you.
We're introducing MMA to the video pod. he was on display in Asylum of the Daleks. It was nice to see him there again. And the storyline in that for making the Doctor darker and for obliterating Scarrow with it. Well, he didn't, but, you know, Davros was ultimately responsible for annihilating Scarrow as a planet.
Don't ask John Peel about that because he'll tell you that it's all been
retconned. John Peel doesn't count. but... That's where that story falls, and Genesis of the Daleks falls at number one because it's Genesis. It's Genesis. I gotta censor myself when I say it, but it's Genesis.
I like how you're able to do that. That takes some control.
It takes
buddy.
Practice. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
It's unbelievable. You know.
For me, I'm very similar to you.
Okay.
I'll put Dalek number three though.
Okay.
But for the same exact reasons as you put it
number
two.
Okay.
So I agree with everything you say about Dalek. Dalek was the selling feature for me to get new people into Doctor Who.
Yes.
And Eccleston just...
Absolutely.
How he didn't win an Emmy for just that one episode alone.
I don't know.
Like, just amazing.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Colin Baker fan, I'm going to put Revelation of the Daleks.
Oh, God.
Yeah, number two.
Oh, God.
But it's more of a Davros story. You know, like Davros is scheming and he's the great healer.
He's cloned himself.
It had layers to it. The reason why I liked it was because, like you're saying about, you know, Remembrance of the Daleks, introducing a darker doctor.
True.
I feel that Revelation of the Daleks, it did introduce...
First time you saw Baker in a blue cape?
Yes, yes. on Necros, yeah.
Yeah.
But it also introduces a darker element to the Sixth Doctor as well, because he is determined to stop Davros in this.
At any cost.
At any cost.
Yeah.
But his interactions with the Daleks are limited. It's almost like he's thinking, I'm not going to tolerate dealing with the Daleks. They're the foot soldiers. I want to go straight to the man himself.
Exactly.
And stop him. Plus, it had Bostock and Orsini.
Mm.
The great characters.
Okay, yeah.
Hera
okay.
was in it. All these secondary characters were interesting. That's what I liked about it. You cared about those characters in the time it took
for
the
episode. Not all of them. I really didn't give a about the Undertakers.
Oh, come on, man. They were great.
They were comic relief at some points that really just
agreed.
It wore thin on me after a while.
Well, listen, Sylvester McCoy was comic relief for me for years. Wore thin after a while. All right, so that's my number two. My
number one,
Genesis of the Daleks.
Come on.
And we've talked about this before.
Yeah, we know.
People can go back into the history of the podcast and find the episodes where we gush about
Genesis of the Daleks. The episode was the best of the best of the best of the best.
Yes.
Something like that.
I haven't changed my opinion since then.
No.
In fact, I've strengthened my opinion since then.
It's one of the most rewatchable series to the story arcs to the old series.
What's the name of the guy that does... I got to think that Julian Glover? Not Julian Glover. That's an actual actor. Something Julian somebody. Is the new Davros. Like, he played Davros in the new series.
Oh, I don't have
it. It is Julian something.
Yes, it is. And he did a great
job. He did a great job, but you know what he did, though? He skipped over all the other Davroses, the Terry Malloys, you know what I mean? He skipped over all that. David Gooderson was the Davros.
He just went straight back.
He went back to Michael Wisher.
He went back to Michael Wisher, the definitive Davros.
And they went back to the look of Michael Wisher.
Yes.
Because he got kind of comical.
I would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was quiet and insanely... Quietly insane.
Quietly insane, yes.
And you'll agree, as much as Remembrance is good, the problem with Davros by Remembrance is that he just started to rant and rave.
He's
like
comic relief.
He becomes comic relief.
He's comic relief,
yeah.
Yes.
But can you imagine that
in
line?
Genesis.
Can you imagine that, you know, the unlimited rice pudding line?
Against Michael Wisher, no.
Against Tom Baker, Michael Wisher.
No.
Tom Baker saying, would you do it?
Yeah, no.
That is, to me, the Doctor versus Davros at its finest. Its finest.
You wouldn't have the unlimited rice pudding.
And the fact
that
Terry Nation wrote it. Yeah. And the fact that he wrote it because he thought, you know what? I'm kind of tired of the Daleks. I created them. I made money off them. I've merchandised them like OFO.
Yeah.
But I'm tired of them. I can't wring anything interesting and new out of them.
Yeah.
And then he thought to himself, they've always kind of been Nazi parallels here. Let's see if we can take it to the extreme and make them the SS.
Nider was brilliant.
Oh, Lawrence Miles?
Oh, yes.
Oh, man.
And I should make a note.
He does audio plays.
I should make a note, as you just tried to do that yourself, there is no editing to me censoring myself. There's no extra editing put in. It's just the way I can do it.
I can't do it.
After many years, I can actually...
I can't do it.
You've
got too many years in the call center.
Too many years in the call center, yes.
Yeah, that's your problem. Yeah. Yes, sir, I'll check your bill in a second.
Yeah, exactly. Is the line cutting out? No, I don't know what happened there.
Dude, you're killing me.
I know.
That's awesome.
Let's get to the book.
Let's get to the book. Hang on to that for
Give
a second.
Give me those. Okay. Where are we going to lay these?
Just hang on to them for a second.
I'll lay them here.
This book, actually, Steve Windsor, our good friend and guest on our last show.
Your mentor.
My mentor, yeah. Mm-hmm. You could actually call him my mentor. I'll 100% agree with that. Steve, actually, this is his book.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the books that he left here to add to my collection when he moved away.
Yes, this is from BBC Books.
This is from BBC Books. It's
Doctor Who
coffee table book.
The Legend Continues.
Yeah. Now this is
five decades of time travel.
It says 5 decades.
Yeah.
And you think, wait a minute, this isn't the 50th.
No.
This actually is only current up to they just introduced David Tennant.
Yeah.
The last page of this book is, and David Tennant is the new Doctor. This is a comprehensive history.
It's an amazing book.
Yeah, you flipped through this before, didn't you? Like, for example, the Wireless Operation, it gives a summary, journey information. It talks about the main, like, the guest characters, if any. It talks about the components of the episode that break it down, like companions,
yeah.
The TARDIS.
You give it to me, you talk.
Yeah, and productions, like production notes. Scattered throughout the book are production notes that go on for pages about how they did the visual effects for either a particular episode or a season. It's a great book. It's you know, let me look at that.
I mean, I can skip forward.
Look at that. That's great. And it introduces the Doctors.
This is unreal.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's a fantastic book.
This is a
look at the back. Look at the back.
It's cover. A coffee table book.
Speaking of the Dalek.
Speaking of the Daleks.
Evolution of the Daleks.
Up through the
from line. The original to the current.
Up to the current.
Well, up to Dalek.
Up to Dalek, yeah.
We don't talk about the Power Ranger Daleks.
We don't talk. I own a Power Ranger Dalek. Well, that's Bruce.
No, you actually voluntarily own a Power Ranger Dalek.
Yeah, I bought it.
Nobody put a gun to your head to buy that. Nobody put a Dan Deere gun to your water gun to your head to buy
no,
that.
No, it was a... I got it out of some Christmas gift money.
Yeah, I'll do that. If they had those mini May figures you did a review on,
yeah.
If they had a classic series of that, and they've had since,
yeah, they
but if they had had a classic series of that when I was at Time Masters with you, I totally would have.
I want to get the mini mates ones. I want to get the non-blind bag sets of those just so I know I have a complete set.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to eBay that up one of these days.
Yeah, so. I agree. What's okay, so speaking of our favorite, like, you know, Dalek episodes, what's your number one Doctor Who merchandise item that you would love to have? Something from the Hooniverse. What is it that you would like to have?
I've got them.
Oh, Mr. Man's complete, huh?
I'm not complete.
What do you get for the Whovian who has everything?
No, I'm not complete by any stretch, but I mean, I have items that have been prized to me that I wanted. I mean, I always wanted a sonic screwdriver growing up. I have 3 sonic screwdrivers. I always wanted a TARDIS. I have a flight control TARDIS.
Hmm.
I always wanted a Tom Baker scarf. I have a Tom Baker scarf. Patterned from the actual pattern. So, I mean, I have extras that I want to add in. I want to get my hands on the Master's pocket watch and ring.
Hmm.
Or, sorry, the Doctor's pocket watch and the Master's ring.
Yeah, I was going to say the Master's.
Yeah, no, because they had one, too, before he turned. Before the Master regenerated.
Yeah, you're talking about the Herald Saxon.
Professor Yana, before he regenerated the Saxon. Right. He had the pocket watch, same way, from the Chameleon Arch.
Yeah.
I would love to have a Dalek voice-changing helmet that came out.
My God, you would too, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You'd stand in the mirror all day long if you had one.
No.
You would, I think.
I'd ride a bus.
All your stuff is talking about newer Doctor Who. I'm a little disappointed.
No, because my sonic screwdrivers aren't... I have 2 classic ones, so...
Yeah, but you also have one new one.
And I have a new one, yeah.
Yeah, but
my Tom Baker scarf. How is that not classic?
Well, yeah, but you had that
TARDIS.
Made. You had that made. You didn't.
I have a TARDIS. The TARDIS itself. I have 3 TARDISes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I have one made out of Lego.
Yeah.
Or not Lego. I have one that's the flight control TARDIS belonging to Matt Smith, and I have one from Dapple.
Yeah, that's true.
The 1987 Sylvester McCoy.
I redact
model.
The comment.
So yeah.
Yeah.
And I have my Sylvester McCoy who can stand in his 1987 TARDIS.
I gave you the mail for that, but do you remember that when I gave you the mail?
Yeah.
But they might cat chew it up.
Mm-hmm.
She had taste.
She also chewed up his sonic screwdriver.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
So.
Yeah, it is what it is, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's a cat.
It's a cat.
Yeah.
For me, I think, I mean, other than Nicola Bryant's bra strap. I think I would like to have, like, if I had to think about things I've always wanted, you know, in terms of the Hooniverse type of thing, very hard to find, and I've looked online, I've got you to look as well on eBay, extremely hard to find. William Hartnell's daughter wrote a book
about William Hartnell. Yes, you've asked me to look for that book. I can't find it, no.
The only place I found it, like, to purchase is on chapters.ca. And it's an import from England because it was only a limited edition print run, and it's like, I don't know, £165 or something like that.
You're a good friend and all, but I'm not getting it.
Yeah, I love you and all, but
he was an awesome enough Christmas present a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
and that's right. The height of it.
I'm still riding on that one. Actually,
I know.
And you're still riding on that one. You're still getting the goodwill.
I'm still getting the goodwill from the autograph.
Yeah, you are. So. But then you go and screw it up by saying, guess what, man? You're rubbing it in then.
Yeah, not rubbing it in.
I would have to say probably, although I wouldn't mind something from the Dalek Mania era. You know, speaking of Daleks,
some Daleks from the Dalek Mania era, I think would be great. Some vintage Daleks,
or even like vintage, and I mean vintage, like Doctor Who Weekly magazines and stuff.
Be nice to get your hands on.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Tom Baker autograph. I tried to get that from Big Finish before.
We can, yeah.
But that was impossible to get, so I just...
Yeah. Yeah, some vintage stuff would be nice.
So let's get to a review before we clue it up.
No, I don't think we got... We don't need to do a review this week. We got enough that we're going to commit to for reviews that we committed to earlier. There's three of them at least that we have.
You got to... Okay, if we're not doing a review this week...
Yeah.
Because I just clued it up and I've referenced it in this episode...
Okay.
You have to, right now, look at the camera and say you're going to listen to the Barry Letts audiobook called Who and Me, which is his audiobook version of his autobiography, former producer of Doctor Who, sadly now deceased. Mm-hmm. Producer of Doctor Who, sorry, I didn't mean to pop filter it.
That's all right.
Producer of Doctor Who during the majority of actually the entirety of the John Pertwee era.
I'm not repeating what you just said, but I will listen to...
I will listen
to the audiobook that he's recommending. I'm not saying the whole spiel that you just went off on.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right, but you're going to do it.
You're long-winded.
I am. But you're going to do it so that we can review it.
Yes.
Because I referenced...
Absolutely.
People who sat through us rambling are going, wait, they're not doing the review now?
No, we're just gushing.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, but we will do a review. We've got the three movies. We've got... Well, two movies and the webcast, and we've got the Barry Letts autobiography.
It's
going to
be a chock-full episode.
So, that could be split into a couple of different episodes. So we've got material for the next one.
Why do you keep always wanting to chop stuff up? You're making more work for yourself.
Yeah, but it just gives us more that we can cover. Because there's always something to talk about, but now we have plans for stuff. Rather than doing a two-hour-long episode.
But people like the two-hour-long episodes.
I don't want to edit a two-hour-long episode.
It all comes down to what you want.
It all comes down to me. All
right, fine.
Yeah.
Well, so, I'll do it your way. I'll just talk, and you edit it as you please.
So the grand experiment, the first video section of The Whostorian, is going to come to a close here, I think.
Next time I'll have shaved.
Next time I will have shaved.
You got to grow that beard back, man.
Maybe when
you
it
had a Brian Blessed beard.
Maybe when it gets colder.
You had a King Urkanos beard.
Maybe
man.
When it gets colder.
Awesome. It was awesome.
As it gets colder, maybe.
Trust me, folks. He had a great beard.
So until we come around this way again,
epic beard.
I'm Steve.
I'm Shannon with his epic beard.
And we'll see you around the Vortex.